December the 9th, 2020. I am Hank Jones, and you are listening to Hank Jones Poly Sports, part of Blog Talk Radio's global Patriot Radio Network. Seven shows over 7 days with eight different hosts, all of them charming, most of them witty, and a few of them really, really intelligent. And then there's me, Hank Jones, every Wednesday, 5:30 or 6, just depends. Lately, it's been 5:30. A lot of stuff going on this week, mostly about COVID and cancellations of sports stuff. But hey, what can you do? That was Jimi Hendrix, Up From the Skies. And as you know, the first line, I just want to talk to you. I won't do you no harm. I will not harm you. I may say stuff that is harmful to people's ego or if you're really hypersensitive, but I will not harm you. Absolutely not. Several ways to interact with the show here. You can call. There's two people right now that are listening. You can listen that way, and you can even talk if you want, but you can call. That number is 319-527-6706. You can hit blogtalkradio.com, look for live, and look for Global Patriot Radio. Click on that. Brings you right into the chat room. Right now, there is one person in there, IndyHawk-KB. I know who that is, by the way. Former college buddy of mine from the University of Iowa, no less. You can tweet to me at HPolySports. I don't usually do anything during a show with Twitter, but you can try. You can email me anytime, 24/7, hjpsports1980@gmail.com. The very best way, though, 319-527-6706. And if you actually want to ask me a question or yell at me or something, hit the one on your phone. Just hit the one. I'll get this little icon that tells me this person wants to talk. Like I said, a lot of different stuff going on. First of all, there are other shows on Blog Talk Radio's Global Patriot Radio Network. Every Monday, the Vito Esposito Show featuring Big Al, Mama Mia No Sharia. You can pretty much guess what they're talking about with that tagline. Tuesdays, Eric from Kafiristan brings you Radio Free Kafiristan. Wednesdays, it's me, Hank Jones. Thursdays, Paul Sutliff with the Sutliffian Report. Fridays, Andrew Herod with Islam in Focus, a.k.a. Conservative Casual Friday. Saturday nights, 10 o'clock to midnight, Minister Usama Dakduk and the Beautiful Christie revealing the truth about Islam. And as a bonus, of course, you do not. Repeat, do not have to watch Pac-12 football if you tune into them. Isn't that great? And then Sundays, Eric's back with Radio Interfaith Dialogue, a real interfaith dialogue. That one you have to actually download an app to your phone or computer or whatever. You can't just go in there and free for all. They just don't allow it. There's a good reason for it. So anyway, hey, some recent passings. I hate to begin shows with that, but the first one, guy I grew up with, David Lander, a.k.a. Squiggy. Yes, Squiggy from Laverne and Shirley. He passed away last Friday. He was 73. He had MS. He fought it publicly. He announced his diagnosis in 1999 and proceeded to do a lot of work on behalf of MS. Laverne and Shirley, that was his signature role. He also appeared on Bob Newhart, Barney Miller, I would have loved to have seen that episode. Twin Peaks, the Drew Carey Show. And, of course, he did the Happy Days crossover. He also did a lot of voiceover work for movies and stuff. And here's maybe the most interesting. He and his former co-star, Michael McKean, actually released an album in 1979 called Lenny and the Squig Tones with Christopher Guest on guitar. And in the credits, he used the name Nigel Tufnell. Now, for those in the know, like me, Nigel Tufnell, of course, was the lead guitarist for Spinal Tap, made famous in the film This Is Spinal Tap. Michael McKean, of course, was David St. Hubbins. And again, for those that don't know, St. Hubbins was the patron saint of quality footwear. Anyway, rest in peace, Squig. Fun guy to watch, no doubt. Former football coach Ray Perkins. This kind of shocked me because pictures I've seen, he's always looked pretty young. Anyway, he coached the Giants from 1979 to 1982. Well, then, of course, he went back to his alma mater to replace the legendary Bear Bryant at Alabama. Passed away today at 79. He dealt with a heart condition for several years. He had a kind of a rocky start, actually, in Tuscaloosa. If you remember, he won 8 games his first year, then 5 the second. Well, in Alabama, that wasn't going to fly. But he also, then the next 2 seasons, won 19 games. Three bowl games he played in his 4 years there. But, yeah, in his 3rd and 4th seasons, 19 games, won 2 bowl games. And then he surprised everyone. He went back to the NFL, to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and that's probably the surprise. I guess he kind of rubbed the folks in Tuscaloosa the wrong way. He got rid of Bear Bryant's, that famous tower that overlooked the practice field. And then the next thing he got rid of was the wishbone. Yeah, for one of the, at least a couple people listening on here that I can see your numbers and KB and the Indy KB in the chat room. Yeah, the wishbone, it actually was still run by teams when we were in college. In fact, Earl Campbell was the fullback in the wishbone at Texas, and he won a Heisman Trophy, so guess it wasn't that bad of an offense. If I were a coach, I'd still run it. I got to admit. Others, wow, actually a lot. I mean, this sounds weird that I'm doing this, like I said, but who else am I thinking of? Gosh, I just had it on the tip of my tongue, and I wrote some of these down. Oh, Fred Akers at Texas. Won 86 games in 10 years there. I think he probably got rid of the wishbone too. Yeah, 86. Or 82, I'm sorry, 82. He won 86 games. And then this is a really kind of a sad one for those of us that grew up in the Chicago area. Dick Allen. When he first started out with the Phillies and then the Cardinals, I always knew him as Richie Allen. But, yeah, Dick Allen, he was 78. He was the AL MVP in 1972 with the White Sox. And, man, he crushed some balls when he was playing in Comiskey. And it was a lot more exciting than what was going on at Wrigley at that time. I mean, Wrigley, you know, the Cubs were always, you know, in it still, until about August, and then, you know, did their usual fade. But, yeah, Dick Allen, 78 years old. That's kind of a hard one because, frankly, he was, like I said, he was a fun guy to watch. He hit some real crush homers for the Sox. I remember one game they were down 4-2. We just happened to be watching it, and one of my sisters was dating a guy who at the time he left thinking they were losing. He'd been watching the game. He left. He went home to change because my parents were having some kind of party and he was coming back for it. He got home. He said he turned on the television just to see what the stats were. And then he saw him. Dick Allen literally hit a 3-run homer. I think the count was 0-2. Hit a 3-run homer to, you know, walk off. And back then, walk offs were a lot more cool. Now they make all ESPN highlights out of them. Finally, Marv Marinovich. He was the captain of USC's 1962 national championship team, but more famously probably known for his son, Todd, who he, I guess you'd say like a drill sergeant or like a, I mean, he just ran him into the ground as a kid. Todd, of course, went on to USC himself and dealt with let's just say substance abuse issues, a lot of them. Yeah, so Marv Marinovich. Speaking of USC, they got a decommit, Jake Garcia, one of their top recruits. So there's that. And then late Monday, and we are going to talk about this more, I'm going to talk about this more, a true icon, living legend, and an American hero, Chuck Yeager, passed away at the age of 97. He was the true essence of the right stuff. He was a World War II aviation combat hero. He was a test pilot after the war, pioneering test pilot, first one to break the sound barrier, continued to break aviation records for the rest of his career. I will most definitely talk about Chuck Yeager later in the show. Let's get to some sports news. In the NFL, let's see, the Steelers. Gosh, what day did they play? I think it was Tuesday. I think it was yesterday. Yeah, the Steelers lost. They were 11-0. They were up, leading. And as a buddy of mine, Pat, points out, why do teams on 3rd-and-1 go into the shotgun and try to run out of it? Yeah, good point and good question. I don't get it. Even the Hawkeyes are starting to do that a little bit. I don't get that. And if you're going to run on 3rd-and-1, line up under center, either do the quarterback sneak or turn and stuff it into a big back. But don't lining up in a shotgun on 3rd-and-1 is bizarre to me. Never going to look right. I guess in the Wildcat, maybe, with, you know, like Iowa does it with Tyler Goodson. I could see that. The Bears used to occasionally do that with Walter Payton. But other than that, I don't get it. A weird one, Dez Bryant. I guess the Steelers lost Monday. No, they lost yesterday. I'm pretty sure. Well, anyway, Dez Bryant, they played yesterday as well, or the day before, the Cowboys and the Ravens. He actually warmed up on the field, and then he was pulled from the game with a positive COVID test. And then he just opted out for the rest of the season. He said he's just tired of it, so he opted out for the rest of the season. That's weird. I'm sorry. That's weird. The whole thing of that is weird. And college football is seeing all kinds of guys shutting it down for the season, opting out. Of course, you haven't seen it with someone on Alabama. You haven't seen it for Ohio State. But it seems like teams, once they get into a point where they're not competitive for the season, Rashad Bateman at Minnesota is the first one that comes to mind for me, but he's not the only by any means. Purdue has had about 5 or 6 in the past week. I guess several of them had shut it down right before the Nebraska game. Don't get that at all. You know, I get if you are really a pro prospect, I get it if you have a real health concern, but shutting it down on your teammates in the middle of the I'm sorry, that's not cool at all. I don't get it. I just don't. Somebody's going to have to set me straight on that. Get to some rankings in the college football ranks. Which poll do you want first? Do you want the AP poll or do you want the coaches poll? Oh, do you want the CFP poll? Let's kind of go through them real quick because there have been some changes. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson is 1 through 3 in the CFP, Alabama, Notre Dame, Ohio State in the AP, Clemson 4th. But for some reason, the CFP committee has Clemson ahead of Ohio State. Texas A&M, Florida in the AP. In the CFP, no, Florida, or Iowa State, 8-2 Iowa State with losses to the Louisiana Raging Cajuns and the Oklahoma State Cowboys, who, by the way, aren't exactly lighting it up and dropped out of the rankings. Yeah, they've jumped the Cincinnati Bearcats. Indiana continues to tear it up. Beat Wisconsin last weekend. That was a huge win for them. And I think it kind of legitimizes them, no doubt. Yeah, Indiana is at 8 in the AP. Miami and then Iowa State rounding out that in CFP, it's Cincinnati, Georgia, Miami. Indiana is 12th. Go figure. Yeah, I don't get it. The Hawkeyes, let's just get right to it. The Hawkeyes are 19th in the AP poll. Absolutely. They are in the coaches poll, though. 18th. Don't know why. I mean, we're ahead of Tulsa in the coaches poll. We're behind them in the AP poll. AP sees something in 6-1 Tulsa that the coaches don't see, evidently. In the CFP, the Hawkeyes are 16th. jumped three spots, jumped five in the AP, and only jumped jumped six in the coaches poll. So yeah, 16, that's on the outside looking in still, but you know what, with a couple of toe stubs coming up, could see theoretically see us in the New Year's Six Bowl. Probably not, but it's theoretically it could happen. We would have to win against Wisconsin this weekend, of course, and then whoever we play in game 9. Those are the ones I'm wondering about. Ohio State, Michigan is canceled for this weekend. So Jim Harbaugh can't go 0-7. Or 0-6, I guess. He's 0-5, so he can't go 0-6, at least not this weekend. We'll have to wait till next year. Supposedly, they're still in talks about extending his contract, by the way. But, yeah, so that game's off. The Big Ten is waiving that six-game rule now, it appears, so that Ohio State can play in the Big Ten championship game on the 19th against Northwestern. What if Northwestern has COVID issues then? Does that mean Iowa jumps up? I sure hope so. That's assuming we beat Wisconsin, of course. I think we can, by the way, but it's certainly not a given. But so, yeah, there's all kinds of COVID cancellations. And what are they going to do with these things? I mean, it's just, and basketball, a lot of people are worried about basketball. Tons of COVID cancellations in basketball as well. Michigan State flew down to Virginia to play in the Big Ten ACC Challenge. That game was going to be played today. This is a week after flying in and beating Duke and Cameron Indoor. Got there and found out last night, game canceled. I'm sorry, that's not cool. Games are getting canceled all over the place. And it seems to me, Indy Hawk asks, will we play a game 9? Everybody's supposed to play a game 9 in the Big Ten, assuming they're not all COVIDed out. The plan was for, in addition to one playing one, of course, two playing two, three playing three, and so forth, while trying to avoid rematches. So you might have had like number two from one division playing number three from the other, that kind of thing. But every team was supposed to play a game 9. Really iffy on if that's going to happen. I mean, if Indiana Purdue is off, not even sure which team is the reason for that, but both of them are supposedly not practicing right now. And like I said, Purdue's had like five guys that shut it down right before their last game. Why? I mean, I just don't get it. I thought these guys were doing it because they're competitive. Just shutting it down because your team is now losing, has a losing record. That sucks. I'm sorry. That sucks. That's quitting on your team. It's quitting on your coach, your school, all that stuff. So I don't know. We'll see, folks. I mean, at this point, there's no point in even making predictions almost before games because you just don't know when they're going to cancel them. I mean, Michigan State flying into Virginia and then finding out like at 11 o'clock last night. So they hopped a plane this morning to go back to East Lansing. I'm sorry. And I get that we're all, talking about COVID and there's all these fear. It's scare stuff. Believe me, it's scare stuff. I mean, the numbers, I was talking with my buddy T. Bodie last night, who's listening. He's not in the chat room tonight. He's on the phone. So listening last night, or talking last night with him, the statistics on the number of people that, like 80% of COVID patients supposedly were regular mask wearers. 70% of COVID deaths occurred in people who claimed to be regular mask wearers. Now, I don't know how – that must be from a certain date because I think in the beginning, a lot of the deaths, they didn't know that, but who knows. And again, those numbers, who trusts any of those numbers? But – so, yeah, we've got all these rankings all over the place in football. I mean, Iowa State they jumped up. They beat West Virginia. Sorry, they're not that good, but they jumped up. But, hey, I'm not going to rank on them just because I'm a Hawkeye. I mean, they They, you know, they're having a good year. Oh, by the way, yeah, Indiana Purdue, it's definitely canceled. They won't play for the Old Oaken Bucket this Saturday. So, yeah, it's insane. And it's, I'm sorry, it looks like some of these cancellations are strategic. I mean, Wisconsin's first cancellation was first Nebraska, who, you know, at that point you didn't know how Nebraska was going to be. It was going to be, would have been a tough game. And then Purdue, who at that point was 2-0, had those games canceled. Maryland cancels their game with Ohio State. And Ohio State ends up canceling against Illinois. That obviously wasn't, they weren't canceling that one out of fear. Michigan, who knows? I think maybe what you're seeing is that guys on some of these teams are just saying, F it. F it. I'm not going to do it. I don't care about masking up. I'll go where I want, see who I want, do it when I want, whatever, you know. Maybe that's what we're seeing right now. Guys have just gotten tired of it. Bubble talk and all these, you know, these guys aren't seeing their families at Thanksgiving. Probably no schools had kids seeing their families at Thanksgiving, because years past, most teams were done the weekend before. Now every team's playing Thanksgiving weekend, so they're not going home. Some parents maybe are able to go up and see their kids, but in this environment, probably not. It'll be interesting to hear. I still reach out occasionally by email to Felicia Goodson, so maybe she would have some input on what they were able to do. But again, they're dealing also with two kids. They have a son at Mercer playing as well, so I'm not sure Mercer is playing right now even. So you have all that. You're dealing with that. I mean, kids are probably just as tired. I know as an adult, I'm certainly tired of this. My wife and I have talked about many times, when is this going to stop? We went out for dinner with my sister and brother-in-law, one of my sisters and brothers-in-law, last weekend. You're wearing your mask all around hotels and, you know, into restaurants, and then you can sit down and take your mask off, and then as you get up to go to the bathroom, you got to put your, I mean, it's getting tedious. There's no doubt about it. It's getting tedious. And you're really not sure it's working. You're really not. You just don't know. I mean, I've got allergies all the time, so I'm living on Benadryl anyway. But, you know, no other symptoms ever. Some people say, oh, you've probably already had it. You just don't know it. Well, if I have, then it really isn't it's not all it's cracked up to be, from my perspective anyway. I don't know. You know, you're shutting, you know, all these new shutdowns. Everybody's threatening to shut down. Illinois is shutting down. California is back shutting down. Colorado is shutting down again. New York, all these places that were never really fully opened up at all. And down in Florida, Ron DeSantis, the governor, supposedly a person that he fired for, she says, because he didn't like her COVID numbers. I have a feeling it's because she was revealing information she shouldn't have, and it was trying to be detrimental. She allegedly her house was raided, but allegedly because she went in on a private protected website for the health department, somehow still had gained access to it. And of course she's doing all these tweets, and some, you know, they're bringing out these people that are like former GOP people that support Biden, saying, you know, this was a really, so what was it when Nancy Pelosi all but got a salon shut down, and her excuse was, oh, I got tricked into going. You didn't get tricked. You know, all these people, all these governors and mayors and county chairs and whatever that are giving these edicts and mandates, and then they're not abiding by them, and then they just tweet out, oh, sorry. My God, if Ron DeSantis did that, if Greg Abbott did that, and they would be all over them. They wouldn't hear the end of it. They would not. But no, these guys are. Okay, so that's what's going on in college football. College basketball, well, like I said, the Big Ten ACC Challenge is going on. There'll be one less game tonight. There were already five games, not seven. There were seven last night. The Big Ten went 6-1. But no, not tonight, because There were going to be five, but Michigan State, Virginia got canceled. Wisconsin is playing Rhode Island instead of and then Michigan was supposed to play NC State. They're playing someone else now because NC State's got issues. You tell me. I mean, it's not been Big Ten schools. And here's an interesting thing there, too. Now, Clemson's killing Maryland at halftime, so that one's – there goes another Big Ten – there goes a Big Ten loss. Michigan's playing Toledo. Michigan's football program isn't playing because of COVID. Their basketball team's fine. Now, we're seeing other teams, ACC, where their basketball teams aren't playing, but their football teams are. So – kind of interesting, isn't it? Certainly appears that way to me anyway. So anyway, here's the Big Ten ACC challenge. Last night, Purdue actually blew it. Purdue had a 32-18, I think, halftime lead on Miami of Florida, where they gave up the ghost and ended up losing by 4 points. And they were up 32-14 at half. They lost by four. They got outscored. They got doubled in the second half. Illinois beat up on Duke at Duke, 83-68. Penn State in Virginia Tech beat them by 20. This, you remember, Penn State's on a new basketball coach. Pat Chambers resigned in controversy right before the season. Rutgers at home beat Syracuse by 10, but it's not like Syracuse had to go halfway across the country. Ohio State went into Notre Dame and beat them by 5. As I mentioned, Miami over Purdue. And Minnesota beating Boston College by 5. And then in the, of course, the game of the night, Iowa, North Carolina. This one was interesting. The Hawks were up 12 at half. And then North Carolina positively went on a run. Actually got it to, well, they took the lead by a point. And it's funny. Because I was working last night at my real job and going back and forth watching the game on ESPN Watch and listening and, you know, getting interrupted. So literally we were down by a point, and then like 2 minutes later I looked again and we were up by 8. And then before you know it, we were up by 12 and we won by 13. Unbelievable. I can't even explain what happened that, I mean, I know we hit some 3-pointers and that was of course the reason, but our guards and it just went on. Luka Garza, of course, the preseason player of the year, went for a double double, 16 points, 14 rebounds. That was huge. The 14 rebounds, because he was not scoring machine last night. He had some big buckets, no two ways about it, but at key points, but he was not scoring 35, 40 points like he has been the previous games. But man, he was coming up huge in rebounds, some defensive plays. He's looking much. I mean, you know, imagine last year's Luka Garza offensively with better defense. That's essentially what you have now. It's literally like taking, like Iowa for Iowa fans. It's like Nate Stanley working out and then suddenly running a 4.5 40 in his senior year. If that had happened, oh man. But yeah, Luka Garza was all over the place defensively, rebounding, and even on the offensive side, setting some great screens. And frankly, because they were collapsing on him, leaving guys like, you know, Jordan Bohannon, Joe Wieskamp, CJ Frederick, leaving those guys open. Wieskamp actually had great numbers. The stuff I saw, he didn't look great, but he actually had great numbers. Iowa's young guys, Patrick McCaffrey, the younger brother of Connor, back after a year of dealing with this, you know, so not a he did not have a recurrence of his cancer, but just some fatigue issues that he was having from his residuals from his treatments. But he's back and he looks great. I like that. I really like his energy. Keegan Murray looks really good. Jack Nungy's back after dealing with the death of his father, which is kind of sad, obviously he died suddenly, but yeah, this team looks great. Hawkeye Mike just texted me, complete team. That's exactly what it is. He also said something interesting. How is Michigan playing basketball, but not football? Something fishy there. I think some schools are using COVID because they are having a tough season and don't want to get creamed by their upcoming opponent. Bingo. absolute bingo, right on the money. That's what happened. I mean, I think teams have done, and Northwestern, Minnesota just didn't want to deal with it. And Northwestern backed into a title because now Michigan did, or Minnesota was missing a lot of guys for their Purdue win. So what changed? I don't know. There's something fishy because I thought it was supposed to, you know, when they were doing all these numbers, it was the whole athletic department, all their athletic teams that were being tested. And it was a population, you know, based on population and all that stuff of your whole athletic. So yeah, why is their basketball team able to play, but their football team is not? Very, very, very interesting. Hey, Vito, welcome to the chat room, buddy. Vito and Indy Hawk KB are in the chat room. Indy Hawk mentions Nunge will be key against big teams. That's something else. You know, Iowa's playing small ball. They're playing four guards and Luka Garza to start games, basically. But they can go big with Pat McCaffrey being the small, but Jack Nunge, Keegan Murray, Pat McCaffrey, I mean, they can go literally go big and long. You know, a lot of length really could be some interesting stuff to watch for the Hawks this year. So yeah, Northwestern plays later tonight as well against Pitt, Nebraska going against Georgia Tech, Indiana, Florida State. Florida State's never beaten Indiana. We're talking about this. Some Florida State fans that I email back and forth with on occasion. They're ranked 20th. Indiana's not ranked, but Indiana's a good team. I think this, frankly, I think the Big Ten is going to be brutal this year. I think the winner of the Big Ten in the regular season might be three games above 500, if that, assuming most of the games get played. There's another question they asked, though, when I was reading about Izzo and Virginia. Somebody pointed out why did the Big Ten go all conference for football, but not for basketball? You know, what made that okay? It's interesting. It's a good question. I mean, why indeed? Don't know. I mean, that's what I'll never know the answer to. As I've said many times before, I am not an insider, with any program. I don't want to be. I mean, that would take you away from supporting and enjoying other stuff, I would think. I mean, the guys that do Hawkeye stuff, John Miller, who's sort of back in the game, Rob Howe, Tom Cakert and Blair Sanderson, all those guys, good guys. But, man, I'm not sure how they can get much more involved in other stuff. Even Steve Dace, who does know college football, but he's a Michigan guy. He's a Michigan fan. He runs their podcast. I mean, it's hard to support or be interested and have time to watch other games when you're covering one team or an insider with one team. So you want to hear about the college basketball rankings? Well, you're going to hear about them because, well, here's the most important part. The number three team in the country right now is the Iowa Hawkeyes. Number two team, Baylor, they beat Illinois last week. They were supposed to play the number one team, Gonzaga, last Saturday. That got canceled for COVID. Gonzaga has had their next four games actually canceled. So next time Gonzaga plays will be December 19th against the Iowa Hawkeyes. Number one versus number three, assuming we don't stumble against Iowa State. I sure hope we don't. Yeah, I mean, that's a couple of weeks rest before they play us. That's not going to be fun, probably. They're playing on a neutral court. It's in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, certainly closer to Iowa City, but, you know, it's not a home game by any means. And Hawks will have been playing all along, and presumably anyway, Gonzaga not so much. So, but yeah, one's going to be playing three. Two already beat four or five when Baylor beat Illinois. Michigan State, when they were number eight, beat number six Duke. Kansas has already lost to Gonzaga. I mean, it's, yeah, you're seeing one-loss teams that are still in the top 10 and top five, frankly, in basketball. Whereas in football, only a Clemson or only an SEC elite team could still be getting, you know, top five love with a loss at this point, or two losses in some cases. Like I said, Iowa State with two losses is number seven in the CFP. Hawkeye Mike's brother, a good guy, his brother. He went to Iowa, but he's an Iowa State fan. Don't ask me why. It sounds like John Candy. Don't ask me how. He's an Iowa State fan. He's got to be liking it. Iowa State fans got to be. For Hawkeye fans that are anti-Iowa State, don't be. Let them enjoy it. It's a good, you know, they're having a good year. And so we should be supportive of them. The ideas that some people have been talking about, wouldn't it be great for the Hawks and the Cyclones to play in a bowl game? No, it would not. I'll tell you why. It would be better, assuming that if Iowa goes 7-2, if Iowa beats Wisconsin and then has a game 9 that they win, it would be a lot better for the state of Iowa, assuming Iowa State beats Oklahoma. I don't think they will. It's hard to beat a team twice in a season. But if they do, a two-loss Iowa State and a two-loss Iowa playing in separate New Year's Six bowls, or one in the New Year's Six and one in like something like the Citrus Bowl, a good bowl like that, that would be great for the state of Iowa. Now, here's the other thing, though. This is the thing that people aren't really thinking about with bowls. When people are saying, Iowa, you know, things like Iowa travels well, Wisconsin travels well, this school doesn't matter this year. It doesn't matter. I mean, some bowls may literally have minimal fans, like what the Big Ten has now, just family and staff. Rose Bowl, yeah, not going to have fans. California, you've seen several bowls canceled in California. And in Texas, the Sun Bowl is canceled. Now, look, don't get me wrong. The Hawkeyes have played in the Sun Bowl and done well in certain cases. But do you really want to spend your pre-bowl quarantine in El Paso, frigging Texas? No, you don't. So the Sun Bowl being canceled, eh, so what? But be that as it may, most of bowls, Citrus Bowl, 20 or 25% capacity, I think I heard. And that's of the non-New Year's Six bowls, that's the number one in terms of payout and in terms of prestige. I mean, that's the biggest non-former BCS, non-New Year's Six bowl. They're going to have 20% capacity. So guess what? They're not – they're. I mean, if Iowa – if it's – for them, if it were Iowa versus Penn State or Iowa versus Michigan, they're not thinking about travel. They're thinking about fans at home now. They're thinking about number of TVs. Iowa's TV footprint around the country, although you can go darn near anywhere and run into Hawkeye fans, and Mrs. Hank has many times been disgusted in me seeing a Hawkeye fan in the far reaches of Nashville. And, you know, even in Mexico, seeing people in Mexico. I was busy on my phone. She saw one, but yeah, I mean, you can run into Iowa fans, but guess what? They don't have a fan base the size of Penn State or Ohio State or Michigan, certainly not Notre Dame. I mean, Notre Dame's got fans defy explanation why they're fans of Notre Dame, but so yeah, this year, all that stuff about which teams travel well, which fans travel well, off the table. Doesn't matter. That's and frankly, in that regard, Clemson's reach. I mean, if Clemson beats Notre Dame, then yeah, you're looking at two teams that wow. But if you were if a bowl was choosing between those, I mean, playoff, it's not going to matter. But if it was the Orange Bowl choosing between Clemson and Notre Dame, newsflash, folks. They're taking Notre Dame each and every time. Same conference for this year anyway, but every time they right this year, bowls are taking Notre Dame because it's not asses in the seats. It's TVs in the house. Notre Dame wins that one going away. So bowl season is different this year. Why not have extra prayers to get rid of this COVID stuff? Follow the science, don't you know? Follow the science, honey. That's what we're being told. Follow the science. Notre Dame's a Catholic school. I didn't think Catholics prayed any better than...
It's a joke.
It's a joke. Notre Dame's a joke. No,
I didn't say that.
Notre Dame has a good team this year, so let's not make fun of Notre Dame. So other sports, you know, there's other sports stuff going on, believe it or not. Not a lot, but Rayford Johnson, former Olympian, passed away early last week. True hero. Olympic champion representing the United States. Soccer had a guy. I don't even know which guy. It wasn't Maradona. It might have been Maradona. I don't know. Mrs. Hake asks a question. Is that a sport? It's a sport, technically. It's not a sport I would ever advocate. I won't follow it. I guess World Cup time, if the U.S. gets in, you sort of follow that. But you know they're going to lose in the next second round. So, and Mrs. Hank followed Costa Rica when she went there on a mission trip. Yeah, there are some countries where people, like, bet on it. And guys, like, what was a Colombian guy when the U.S. beat them one year? Some Colombian big mobster type blew away. Colombian guy that had owned gold. Own goal is when I do know what that means. Own goal is when a guy knocks the ball into his own goal instead of scoring for his team. He scores against his team accidentally. So some Colombian dude owned gold and them against the U.S. The U.S. won, and the guy got killed by some Colombian gangster. Yeah, fun. Yeah, that's the kind of sport. Or those soccer hooligans. Yeah, that's why I don't follow soccer. I mean, yeah, you have morons in college football. I mean, you have people that, you know, like at Packers games that show you how much Fireball they've drank because they wear no shirt when the temperature is 20 degrees out. You have that. But you don't have people wailing on each other in the streets over a college football game or even a pro football. It just doesn't happen. So, yeah, that's why you shouldn't follow soccer too closely. Let's get some politics news. This is interesting. Evidently, at some zoos around the country, there are some lions that have tested positive for COVID. Four lions at a zoo in Barcelona tested positive for COVID-19. Now, it's only the second known case of felines contracting coronavirus. I assume the other was China. I don't know. Supposedly there was a couple dogs in China that tested. So four lions, they carried out PCR tests in the same way that humans are tested. These lions evidently are accustomed to contact with the zoo staff. Sorry. I don't care how much I've trained it or how much I've fed it or whatever. I'm not going in to hang out with lions and tigers just so I can do a COVID test. Anyway, four tigers and three lions tested positive for COVID in April at the Bronx Zoo in New York, supposedly. But now, here's four lions that tested positive in Barcelona. Don't know. I mean, I assume their handlers are snot ragging all over them or something. I don't know. Welcome, Holger. Holger's in the chat room. And you know what? It really begs the question, because Holger's the Minnesota fan. Why is Minnesota canceling out? I mean, did they give up the ghost that much? I don't know. We welcome Holger to the chat room. Oh, man, it's just been a while since he's been in here. Welcome, Holger, man. It's good to see you. We converse a bit on Twitter, and we converse a bit in the chat room on Vito's show, but he hasn't been in here for a couple weeks. Oh, Holger's got his own show, or he's on blog, I guess. He's on blogspot.com, is it? Is that right, Holger? I don't know if he's got it. He had a show, Vito told me one time. I don't know if he had it on Blog Talk Radio, though. Holger is first of all, the Vikings are still in the hunt. He wants you all to know that. I'm a Bears fan, so, yeah, that's going nowhere fast. Good to have you here, man. The presidential election, you know, more cases are getting tossed. Other cases are being heard. You know, Supreme Court has given states till tomorrow, I guess, to respond to Texas's lawsuit. Meanwhile, they threw out another suit. I don't know what they turned down the Pennsylvania suit. Meanwhile, the inauguration committee is not going ahead for whatever reason. They're not proceeding. I don't know. Like I said, I said last week, really, I mean, you can come here and I can tell you what's going on, but yeah, Holger did used to have a BTR show. I thought Vito told me that. So hold your, what is it, blogspot.com? What's your blog? Is it blogspot.com where you have a blog and folks should go visit you on occasion? Type it into the chat at some point. Holger is awake. It's his screen name in the chat room. So very entertaining and interesting and very aware as he, or awake, I could say. He's not woke. Not saying he's woke. He is awake. Holgerawakens.blogspot.com. I have it bookmarked, so I don't do stuff by search. It's sort of like phone. I used to know everybody's phone number. I can still tell you all the phone numbers of my friends when I was growing up. Now I couldn't tell. I can tell you my wife's cell phone number, and I can tell you my father-in-law's and my brother's. Nobody else's, because they're just programmed in my phone. I don't even dial them. You know, you dial them once, that's it. Oh, I know Vito's too. I know my daughters. I know my daughters. I admit it. I know my daughters. But me and her generation, they don't even talk. They text all the time, so it doesn't really matter. So, like I said, go to like the Epic Times. Don't go to Fox News. Go to like the Epic Times because they'll tell you what's really happening. They have a ton of stuff on the election. Every little lawsuit, this is what's puzzling everyone. There are bona fide cases. The Arizona, you know, they heard witnesses, and then they used the excuse of Giuliani getting COVID to shut down the legislature. So they're not going to act on anything if they don't have to. So really, I mean, at this point, it's kind of up to the Supreme Court. I'm not holding out much hope that anything's going to happen. I think we are, like I said before, I think we are looking at President-elect Biden. Brother Tommy says it might be the dumbest president we've ever had. I'm not even sure that, the question isn't, is he? The question is, by how much? I mean, I don't think he's, you know, where is Hunter Biden? Everybody's asking that. Where is Hunter Biden? That's a really serious question. I mean, did he get Arkansided and we won't find out about it till later? Did he get Arkansided? Good question. I'm going to pull something up that I really wanted to talk about this. The COVID numbers. Not so much the COVID numbers, but and Fang Fang. Yeah, Fang Fang. We're going to talk about Fang Fang later. We're going to talk about people in politics that have tested positive for COVID-19. Now, here's the thing. Have you noticed that it seems like lately it's all Republican legislators or whatever? I mean, you don't hear about any Democrat testing positive. You wonder. I think this is part of a pattern. I mean, why does Giuliani go to Arizona as an example and come away with COVID? Did anybody else there come away with COVID? There's this media stuff. Vito's asking, did I hear that the CCP virus has a 99.3% survival rate? Of course I heard that. It's the Red China virus. The Red China virus. Here's the point I'm making. They're trying to make it look like on several fronts. You know, I've talked about the other stuff with my tinfoil hat. You know, the early Christmas music. The urgency, you know, it's 2020 is almost over. We've got to have a president now. You know, even in Pennsylvania, where they said, we've got to certify it now. And their own people in their own court said, 2016, you didn't certify till December 12th. So don't talk to us about urgency. Like I said, the early Christmas music, don't get together at Thanksgiving. Why? Because they don't want people talking about all this stuff. Now they're saying don't get together at Christmas. And Fauci's an expert. Fauci's now talking about climate change, otherwise known as falsely. I call him falsely. But you know why are? I can't believe the Democrats are that better at masking up. Why? Because every Democrat mayor or governor who has made these things, these edicts, these mandates, these lockdowns, every one of them has been caught violating it. So how is that happening? You know, I mean, these patterns are kind of scary to me, kind of frightening. Anyway, the politician count of COVID cases. Well, it's hard to find them in a list form. All I'm finding is these slideshows. Why is that? Again, why are they doing it in a slideshow? I'll tell you why. They don't want it easy to look at. Well, Congress tracked by US.gov. Man, think how easy that is. A government website. Yeah, so here they are. Romney, Lee, Paul, Scott, Cruz, Alexander, Johnson, Sass. I mean, all these people, supposedly Loeffler, Grassley. I mean, I don't know. On the representative side, all the Democrats had it early. Democrats had it. Now it's been Republicans. So were Republicans masking up better before and not now? That doesn't make sense, because we've already heard that the stuff with the mask figures that I talked about earlier. It doesn't make sense. I mean, Vito, I know, can tell you. He's still working. He's working more from home, he told me, but he still goes out on occasion. I've definitely not been working from home at all. Mrs. Hank has, but I've not. I've been, since this started, I've been going to work pretty much every day. Do I wear a mask? Yes. My office is naturally, so by nature, socially distanced. I was cleaning like a maniac for the first couple of months. Now, not so much. I still clean, but, you know, not like I was before. So why is this? It's just the numbers, the ways this is happening. None of this is making sense. None of this is making sense. Hey, we got a caller. I'm not going to tell you the number that he's calling from, but I have a feeling I know who it is. Welcome to Hank Jones Poly Sports. To whom do I have the pleasure? It is him. How you doing, man? Good to hear your voice.
Vito loves to hear the horn.
Is that really a Viking horn? That almost sounds like something in Philadelphia Harbor or something.
Yeah,
I don't know.
It's like a foghorn, leghorn.
Yeah, exactly. How you doing? Are you masking up still, or?
Yeah, well, I had, it gave a good opportunity, because when you brought up that the dreaded COVID, not that it's had any effect on anybody's lives, you know, in the last 9 months or not, but I had brought up an interesting statistic. Because I had a friend of mine who was bugging the crap out of me weeks ago. Last year in the winter, I got influenza B, and I thought I was going to bloody die. And I had mistakenly at the time, I had made the comment to this guy that to remind me next year to get a flu shot, because I never had a flu shot in my life. Okay. But I told him, I said, I never want to go through that ever again. And of course, you know, a month ago, he starts in on this constant barrage of, did you get your flu shot yet? They're free, you know, blah, 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 blah. So I finally relented and got one. And I looked at the guy giving me the shot at Walgreens, and I said, you know, what the hell do I need this for? I said, who's going to give me the flu? I mean, I'm not within 6 feet of anybody. They got a man. I mean, where am I going to get the flu from? So, I was just curious because, you know, I'm hearing, you know, every day we have a new record number of cases of COVID in the state of Minnesota.
Okay.
You know, apparently it's the most contagious thing in the history of man. So I decided to go in and look to see where we're standing with the flu, because everybody's supposed to get a flu shot too, you know. So
absolutely.
I went in. And in here's the total hospitalizations from influenza, okay? Last year, the 2019-2020 flu season, which is basically kind of like October through March up here, anyway.
Okay.
So 2019-2020.
Right. So it overlaps both football and basketball, which is kind of not fair, but...
So in 2019-2020, there were 4,022 hospitalizations in Minnesota due to influenza, okay?
4,022, did you say?
4,022.
Okay.
All right. So the 2020-2021 season, which, again, starts around October 1st,
okay.
So this is through the end of December, through the end of November.
So 2 months, okay.
2 months, okay. So let's just say 2019-2020 was 4,022. That divided by six would be like about, what, 650?
Yeah.
A month?
Yeah. So you should have 1,300 cases roughly right now.
Yeah.
Hospitals.
So this year for 2 months of the flu season – the total hospitalizations is, all right, wait for it, 15. 15.
Wow.
15.
15.
Yes. So for the entire flu season, that would equate to 90 cases versus 4,022 last year. We'd have 90 cases this winter. So being... a skeptic, being someone who wouldn't trust the government as far as I could throw the behemoth.
Yes, correct.
I'm thinking that there's a possibility that some of these record-breaking COVID cases might actually be the flu.
Yeah. I'm thinking, yeah, that's okay. So 90 divided by 4022, so percent. I'm working it on. So roughly 2%, 98% less, I should say, 98% less hospitalizations.
Yeah,
this year of influenza.
So the Democrat governor of Minnesota
really
should be congratulated for reducing the influenza in the state by 98%.
Yeah, if that doesn't spell re-election, nothing does.
I figured it would be a lot less and stuff, but I mean I was thinking it was going to be like, you know, like for 2 months it would be like 700 or 800 or something.
Well, Vito points out you're not going to get flu anymore, and heart disease and cancer have also been cured, as he pointed out, because COVID. You know what it might be? COVID as a virus might be sort of like Pac-Man. It's going around and eating up other viruses.
Yeah.
You know, maybe that's all it is. I mean, like, you know, no more chicken pox. Here's the other thing. Here's a question that I have of people, and maybe talk about it in Blogspot and see if you get answers. Okay, we're hearing if you get the vaccine, you're still going to have to mask up for probably a year because we won't really know the efficacy. Now, wait a second. Now, every time, you know, when they did it with, like, chicken pox vaccines and stuff, they didn't close schools for a year waiting for vaccines to work. You know, you had to get vaccinated to go to school, but they didn't then say, well, let's keep this kid out for, you know, 6 months or a year in case it doesn't work. A year on this, they're saying on the COVID. Yeah, Mrs. Hank is here in Electric Hankland Studios. She doesn't like that year stuff. Yeah, we have a wedding to go to in September, so.
Back in the olden days. So what would happen is, like, so if somebody got the chicken pox, then that person would put on a mask and be quarantined. Okay? So you actually quarantined the sick people. You didn't quarantine all the healthy people.
Everyone else. Right.
But well, you know, the other point on these influenza numbers and stuff, and just what Vito was saying too, is the fact that there's, you know, no longer you don't get the flu, you don't get heart disease, you don't get cancer. You know, you look in Minnesota, I think 70% of the deaths in Minnesota have been in long-term care, you know, old people's homes.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, you know, anybody that's got older parents and has to gone through this kind of thing knows that the Grim Reaper in old folks' homes is almost 90% of the time it's pneumonia. Pneumonia takes these people, okay?
Yeah.
They might have other afflictions and all that kind of good stuff.
A broken hip is usually the, you know.
But the final blow is usually they just get pneumonia. And the fact of the matter is so you've got an old person in a nursing home who's, you know, if they do an autopsy, the cause of death is pneumonia. It's not COVID.
Right.
You know, but, you know, what they're trying to spin this. And, you know, I'll just throw this other last point out here is that there was a doctor here in Minnesota who made national news. I think it was maybe even 2-3 months ago. But he made this claim that a hospital would get, well, if for every case of COVID they have in their hospital, they get a check from the government for $39,000.
Oh, is it 30? I thought it was 18,000, but I, you know,
$39,000.
It's government money, so it's not like they haven't just put it on someone's tab anyway. So,
yeah,
you know.
So obviously, nobody's been going to the hospital for anything else, you know, because nobody wants to go near where there might be COVID and all that kind of stuff. So these hospitals were desperate for money, and so I just heard yesterday. I was listening to Sirius XM radio, and I can't remember the state. I think it was New York State, but New York State or Pennsylvania, one of the two. The long-term care facilities were suing the state because they had gotten bilked out of, they claimed, $700 million in COVID aid. Okay? And I'm thinking to myself, this is big business, man. I mean, if you've got a nursing home and the government's going to send you $20 million in aid to, you know, help combat COVID and help with expenses and all that kind of good stuff. I mean, that's huge money.
Yeah. Especially for the, you know, we always talk about kicking the can down the road. You know, when they talk about national debt, kicking the can down the road, kicking the can. That's what lockdowns are, is kicking the can down the road. I mean, you're not building herd immunity. You know, you can't really build herd immunity in a herd that is dispersed, you know? I mean, but they just keep kicking it down the road. Well, we just got to do more lockdowns. And, this, you know, the memes are all over the place. If the first lockdown didn't work, why will the second lockdown work? And then if the first lockdown did work, why do we need another lockdown? I mean, and this is one of the biggest leftist tropes that you'll hear right now. One of the biggest tropes on the left is if you're in a conversation and you say, I don't get all this lockdown and mask right away, or I don't get why they need a little lockdown. They immediately look at you as if, well, if you would just wear a mask and socially distance, the assumption on the left is that anybody who questions it isn't doing their job, isn't locking down, isn't masking up. And the point is, we are. We all are, you know. I mean, I don't run into people that are. I mean, I can't. Yeah, you can't. I mean, you notice now. You notice in Home Depot. You notice the one or two people that aren't wearing masks. You know, you don't even notice the cool masks anymore. I mean, you know, you've probably seen Golden Gopher masks. I've seen people wearing Hawkeye. Yeah, you don't notice any of those anymore. It's just another mask. You notice the person, the one or two people that aren't wearing a mask. And yet, the biggest trope on the left is if you Republicans would just wear your mask and you know, mask up and socially distance. Well, all my teacher people that I know some teachers, they're all like, don't send us back to school. Don't kill us. Meanwhile, in their Facebook stories, you know, you see Facebook, they got 4 slides of don't kill us. And then they got 8 slides of me at my margarita party with all my friends. It's like, wait a second. You know, I mean, is this, am I insane hearing this stuff and seeing this stuff? I mean, am I really, it's like a Twilight Zone episode. You know, and I'll ask you this later. The other thing you're seeing from leftists, from your lefty friends, if you follow it, you know, if you're on social media, is survey. Or they'll say, are you going to take the COVID vaccine? Simple yes or no. And everybody, it's the same meme. Everybody's doing it. And it's like, simple yes or no. It's like, I've not seen one conservative friend that has asked that. It's all been left. And the other big left thing right now is that I'm seeing is, hey, who of my friends out there that use Wikipedia are supporting it with donations? What's, I mean, when did that, who's ever, some, do people actually do that? I didn't even know that was a thing. And suddenly we're supposed to give their one-word answer. And it's like, really? My answer is, really? Okay, so all of you that said yes, go back to the Twilight Zone episode where everybody, remember the one where there's like a beautiful woman and her surgery doesn't work and then everybody there looks like pigs? So if a year from now I'm walking around and I see people without masks and they all look like pigs, I'm going to know, okay, that person had the vaccine. I mean, I'm sorry. I'm not anti-vaccine. I'm not one of those anti-vaxxers. I'm not one of those. But I hear people say like, oh, but the reason they're not working on the vaccine is more important than a treatment. Well, how do you know what the hell's going to work as a vaccine if you haven't figured out what's successful as a treatment? I mean, none of this is making sense. None of it. And yet we're just supposed to believe, well, all the vaccine's here. It's going to work. Everybody's got to get it. Sorry, not me.
Well, see that's the difference between conservatives and liberals, okay? So if a conservative, let's just say like a conservative governor were to take the lead in a scenario like this, you know, long time ago had decided that, okay, we need a lockdown and we need to do everybody, every place in the whole frickin' state needs to have a mask, mandatory masks and all that. The conservative taking that tactic is going to bend over backwards to produce results and report results and say, okay, we've seen, you know, we've had this now for a month and we've seen a 28% reduction in the number of cases, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I don't know if you noticed the other day, the great white messiah, the new great white messiah, Joe Biden, came out with this earth-shattering news that when he's president, that the first 100 days he's going to put in a mandatory face mask rule for wherever the federal government has jurisdiction. So in other words, if you get on a plane to fly to other states, you're going to have to wear a mask. And the guy on the radio says, like, okay, I was unaware of the fact that right now when you got on a plane, you didn't have to wear a mask. And so, I mean, I was sitting there and I'm listening to this clip from Biden and I'm thinking to myself, okay, so in other words, 80 million people voted for this guy because his plan is to do what we've been doing for 10 months.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the plan.
Vito has an answer, by the way, for your 15 people that were hospitalized. It's only because they had HMO plans. That's why those 15 people went to the hospital. They had HMO plans. Well, here's the thing, though, with Biden. I like listening to him because it seems like this guy, you know, this is a guy that last week broke his foot. Remember, he broke his foot or broke his leg?
Yep.
I saw it the other day. Yep. He's walking around without no boot, no crutches, no nothing. That dude healed himself in 6 days of a broken foot. So maybe there's something to it. Maybe he really can heal himself.
Well, you can make a case for the inefficiency of liberals. Okay, so when you have 6 body doubles they've got to be keeping up on the memos, okay? So the memo out to the body doubles that says, okay, we're all wearing boots now, and you know, because you know they got the photo out where one's wearing the boot on the left leg and one's wearing the boot on the right leg, you know. So the memo came out saying, hey, we're wearing a boot now, and it's on the left leg. But, you know, some of these guys are too stupid. They're not keeping up on the memo. So,
they forgot. They
you know,
forgot.
The guy went to the frickin' theater the other night, and he didn't see the memo, and he's, like, walking around with a shoe on.
Yeah, it's them actor types. You know, it reminds me, this is probably something I mean, I suspect that you are a little more highbrow than I am. I used to watch WWE when it was called WWF. And Hulk Hogan one time lost his title because even though he lifted his shoulder off the mat against Andre the Giant, the other ref counted him out. Well, then, while he's standing there arguing, the ref's twin brother came out that was supposed to be the ref for the match. So, like, they brought the bad twin. That's what I wonder if we're getting with him. I mean, maybe we just got the bad twin. It's just I can't even believe all this. I mean, I can't believe all the, you know, I can't believe that a guy who won only 16.7% of U.S. counties somehow got 8 million more votes than his predecessor, you know, not his predecessor, but the man under whom he served as vice president. It just doesn't happen. I mean, none of this makes sense. I mean, all the things of vote, you know, harvesting and everything. And yet people just, well, forget it. It just doesn't count. I mean, it's literally almost like it just doesn't even count anymore. I mean, it's like, well, we just got to get past it. And it's, you know, it's unbelievable. I mean, and you wonder, is the Supreme Court, I mean, you know, you have governors that have seemingly just said, well, you know, we think it's fair. Really? You're really going to tell me that you think it's fair when you have videos of people threatening, you know, other people on their canvassing board, and you have photos and videos of people driving in with boxes, you know, at you know, when the vote count is supposed to be suspended. I mean, none of it. And yet the media is just selling it, and we're taking it. That's the problem. We're taking it. At some point, we're going to have to really physically, so to speak, fight back. So,
well,
we have the stomach for it.
There's some host, some gal that's got a show on MSNBC. I don't even know what her name is, but she's become the latest poster child because she contracted, you know, COVID and you know, had to stay home. And so she was off the air for a few weeks, and then she's back on the air, but she's doing it from home because she wants to be super safe. And, you know, so I tweeted her, and I said, you know, I said, I'm so surprised. I said, you know, you could really help everyone out here because we know how, you know, how diligent you've been. You know, you've been wearing the mask. You've been social distancing. You've been isolating and all this stuff. How did you possibly contract COVID-19? And so I just happened to hear a clip on the radio. Somebody was playing a clip of her just from a couple days ago, and she's like, my husband and I still can't figure out where we got this from. And you know, I'm sitting there because I'm, this is just what's driving me nuts, is the fact that just like you said earlier, I can't, you know, I go out to the grocery store, you know, gas, you know, wherever I'm going and all that kind of good stuff. Everybody's got a mask on. Everybody's 10 feet apart, not 6 feet apart. They're 10 feet apart. And there is absolutely has been no reduction. The curve hasn't flattened in 6 fucking months.
Exactly.
You know, and I'm like, okay. So, in other words, if you've got syphilis, and the doctor, you go to the doctor, and he says, well, the cure for this is baking soda, and you take the baking soda, and parts of you keep falling off for the next 4 months. At some point in time, aren't you going to say, you know, I don't think the baking soda's working that good?
Yeah, possibly. But, I mean, it's that. It's like, why are some people... I don't know. I just don't get it. Why? I mean, My office is next door to our actual landlord, and we share some. He's a client of ours as well. Five people in their office got it. They're not in our office all day, but they come into our office to do some equipment stuff. None of our people got it. None. You know, I mean, just explain it, please. You know, I mean, you've seen stuff like, well, maybe it's the blood type, and maybe it's this. My brother-in-law lives in a northern state. They get a flu shot every year. Guess what he has every year? He has flu problems every year. Their whole family gets flu shots every year. And every year, they're always coming down with it. So, you know, something does not add up in all of this. It just doesn't.
Well, and the whole point is, okay, if you don't know, then say you don't know. You know, don't throw masks on every human being and then, you know, put people in jail for not wearing a mask. You know, when you don't even have any kind of proof that it actually works. Yeah. You know, I mean, I don't know if you remember, but when this first broke out, I mean, back in like March and all that kind of good stuff, everybody was like, I mean, I had friends of mine who they'd get the mail, they'd leave the mail in the mailbox for like 4 days.
They
heard somewhere that the virus would die off in 4 days or something. Everybody was wearing disposable nitrile gloves.
Yeah, people.
Nobody wears gloves now.
Yeah, people were putting their newspapers in the oven, literally.
Yeah. I mean, my buddy and his wife get back from grocery shopping, and they leave the groceries in the car. You know, because it's cold, and they leave them out in the car for like 2 days. And I'm like, well, so did you just think of that yourself, or did you actually hear that? Or, well, we're not sure, but that's apparently what you're supposed to do. And I'm like, you know, it's a good thing that somebody didn't say, you know, you got to buy a $100,000 UV appliance to zap everything that comes in your house.
Yeah, they're going to. At some point, that's going to happen.
We'd all be poor.
Yeah. Well, somebody'd be rich, but it wouldn't be us, that's for sure. Well, you know, and yeah, I mean, we could, you know, you talk about the distancing. The other thing that masks in that regard may have done as a negative is people wear a mask and then they get, I mean, like in Home Depot, that's the one place I'm afraid is Home Depot, because people get right, I mean, I can be looking at something and somebody would be right up on my ass. Looking at something over my shoulder, and it's like, dude, you can't wait an extra 5 minutes for me to figure out which nails I'm gonna. You can't wait 5 minutes on these nails. But I think it's because people think, well, I've got a mask on. But you know what? Those people were doing it without masks anyway when we weren't wearing. You know, so what's changed? I just don't. And the other thing, Fauci, and I call him falsely, but you know, he literally said on February 29th, Americans don't need to alter their behavior. And people now, when you bring that up, people excuse it. Well, the virus has evolved. Well, wait a second. Did it not evolve when President Trump was doing, giving some of these advisories? Because when he made the China travel ban, he was a racist and he was a xenophobe and he was, you know, wait a second. I mean, the people that have just the lack of accountability, except for everyone except President Trump, is what just flabbergasts me. I mean, I just. Oh. It's just unbelievable. It's not, you can't measure it.
Crazy. All right, anyway,
I got to run a little tribute here. Yeah, well, thank you for calling, man. It's great hearing from you. And hey, everybody, this is Holger.blogspot. Or is it Holger Awakens or just Holger.blogspot.com? I'm going to go back and look in the chat room because you wrote it down.
Holgerawakens.blogspot.com.
Holgerawakens.blogspot.com, folks. Give him a listen.
All right.
Thanks for being here, man. We'll talk to you later.
See you, everybody. Okay, bye.
Bye. Holger, the Viking from Minnesota. You heard it. You mean, literally 15 flu cases, hospitalizations. Last year at this time, you know, there should have been, what, 1,300 by the numbers. Right then and there. None of this makes sense. It just doesn't make sense. Okay. Last thing tonight, I want to do a little bit of a tribute. General Chuck Yeager, I mean, what more can be said? He was a hero. He was a pioneer. He was an icon, a legend. During World War II, as part of the U.S. Army Air Force, which later became the U.S. Air Force, its own military branch, he shot down 13 enemy planes in combat. He shot down 5 in one day. He stayed with the Air Force until 1975, having been promoted to the rank of Brigadier General in 1969. His military career included service in 3 wars/conflicts. World War II, as I mentioned, the Korean War and the Vietnam War. He flew more than 360 different aircraft. Yeah, I'd say he was accomplished, wouldn't you? 360 different aircraft. In 1947, as we know, while I was a test pilot at Edwards Air Force Base, actually it was Muroc Air Force Base and later became Edwards, he piloted the Bell X-1 to become the first human being to break the sound barrier. He did this 2 days after breaking his ribs in a fall from a horse. He needed a rigged up device just to shut the hatch on the X-1 because he couldn't reach over and grab it because of the ribs. He did this after several pilots had already perished attempting to break the sound barrier, and after Bell Aircraft test pilot Slick Goodlin demanded $150,000. Chuck Yeager, as we know, did it for his standard Air Force pay. Several years later, after civilian pilot Scott Crossfield became the first person to break Mach 2, Chuck Yeager promptly went Mach 2.44. In the latter part of this flight, he encountered trouble with his aircraft called inertia coupling. Very little was known about it then. Now they understand it. But he encountered trouble, spinning, flat spin, verticals, I mean, all kinds of spin, multiple spin. He fell 51,000 feet in less than a minute, and he got out of the multi-directional spin at 29,000 feet. The other thing he did with that is he ruined the planned 50 years of flight celebration, at which Scott Crossfield was going to be formally dubbed the fastest man alive. He attempted and usually broke numerous other flight records, ranging from speed to altitude. His last record attempt was in the Lockheed NF-104 Starfighter, his last. He had to eject from the aircraft, suffered multiple burns. And at that point, it was the right stuff talks about this. But anyway, these are just some. He also trained pilots and astronauts. He was the first commander at the U.S. Air Force Aerospace Research Pilot School. Despite the fact he was training our future astronauts, Chuck Yeager himself was not eligible to be an astronaut because he never went to college. After he retired from the Air Force, he worked mainly in promotion, including for GM and for AC Delco. He was also the pace car driver at both the 1986 and 1988 races of the Indianapolis 500. Oh, and he also found time to serve at the appointment of Ronald Reagan on the Rogers Commission that investigated the explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger in 1986, January 28th, to be exact. Remember that day very well, unfortunately. On the 50th anniversary of his historic flight in the X-1, he broke the sound barrier at the age of 74 in an F-15D Eagle. On the 65th anniversary in 2012, he again broke the sound barrier as a co-pilot this time at the age of 89 in an F-15 Eagle. He also took the time out to play a cameo role in The Right Stuff, the Tom Wolfe novel-based film about the test pilots and later the astronauts that pioneered our aviation and aerospace exploration. The part of Yeager himself was played by the late Sam Shepard, who was nominated for Academy Award for Best Supporting Actor. That film won 4 Academy Awards. It was nominated for 8. I highly recommend The Right Stuff, both the book and the movie. The book is long. I'll say that. It deals with a great deal more subject matter than the film. And the film, while romanticizing the lives of test pilots and astronauts, as well as depicting the early sentiment by some pilots that the astronauts were just glorified monkeys riding in the spacecraft and not actually piloting. Anyway, the film is an absolute masterpiece. It captures the essence of our post-sound barrier pioneers and astronauts, as well as showing how truly dangerous early spaceflight was, and even today can be perilous. I think it can also help younger generations understand the emotion that many Americans feel, even now, at the slightest hiccups in the space program, even something as seemingly as mundane as an aborted countdown. In the early days, every flight was kind of a 50-50 proposition. And by the time of the Apollo 1 tragedy, which ironically took the life of one of the original, Gus Grissom, we'd already been through two generations of spacecraft success. I mean, we'd already been through the Mercury and the Gemini programs. Now, Apollo 13 averted potential tragedy. But even then, you know, years later, Americans were stunned by the explosion of the Space Shuttle Challenger. Then when the first shuttle ever, Columbia, was lost on reentry, Americans had become so used to space success that we almost expected that these accidents would never happen again. We kind of forget, however, building projectiles that orbit Earth at almost 18,000 miles per hour is pretty much a recipe for all kinds of danger and tragedy. Escape velocity, which would kind of seem impossible to obtain in the first place, is almost easy when you compare it with the dangers of reentry into Earth's atmosphere. That was what doomed Columbia, issues on reentry. General Chuck Yeager was one of the early heroes who made all that possible. He made it seem effortlessly attainable, almost. He was more than a test pilot. He was a combat pilot. He was a man who believed in achievement because he achieved. He believed in America, in its role as an innovator, and as America, the land of the free and the home of the brave. And Chuck Yeager may just have been America's bravest. So we send him off into the wild blue yonder. Rest in peace, General Chuck Yeager. Anthem of the U.S. Air Force. Rest in peace, Chuck Yeager. I want to thank you all for being here tonight. My buddy T. Boney, listen in. My buddy Shim, my buddy Hawkeye Mike, brother Tommy was also listening earlier, had a couple others listening. Thanks, Holger, for calling in and for being in the chat room. Holger and Indy Hawk, KB and Vito were in the chat room tonight. Thank you all for being here. Thank you for putting up with me. And please, folks, if you haven't really known much about Chuck Yeager, Google him. Fascinating life story, a fascinating man, a true American hero. But on to happier stuff. We got football this coming weekend, hopefully. Hopefully college basketball gets through all this. Maybe not. But in the meantime, hey, be safe out there. Wear your mask if you feel like it. Socially distance if you must. Certainly practice hygiene. That's a given, COVID or no COVID. Have a great week. Have a great weekend. And back next week at this same location at the same time. Have a great one, folks. Good night.